Okay, fine. Here are some Teen Wolf Avengers crossover feels. By Jism. Read by Calicuria. In no particular order. The circumstances that lead to what I'm going to choose to call the Hail Pack to spend an extended amount of time in Avengers Tower revolve around the fact that Danny is secretly a terrifyingly competent hacker, and Tony's been trying to recruit him for Stark Industries since that thing when he was 13. Who did you think got the charges dropped? Tony and Styles hate each other within 10 minutes of meeting. This is because Scott meets Tony first. Tony finds Scott's good cheer, total incomprehension of whatever Tony's talking about, but complete willingness to allow him to continue talking, and apparent appreciation of Tony's sense of humor, gratifying. Scott is mostly succeeding in hiding his wild childhood fanboying of Iron Man. Styles, naturally, is jealous both of the fact that Scott likes Tony and the fact that Tony likes Scott, although he won't admit to either one of those emotions. Tony, not that he's emotionally aware enough to know why, just has trouble looking at the babbling kid with the big eyes and more brain than he knows what to deal with. There's a lot of pithy snark. Allison bypasses talking to literally everyone else to talk to Clint. She doesn't even stop to say hello. Clint, who is very used to teenage girls approaching him, is already sighing and reaching for a pen to autograph with when she starts talking. He is not expecting her to delve immediately into demands to know how on earth he makes that terrible form work for him, and can she look at the design specs for his bow, and how much does a quiver with that many functions run you to produce? They're fast friends. Clint's got a thing for badass ladies who are good with a bow, and Allison kind of reminds him of Kate Bishop. Styles falls in love with Natasha the second he lays eyes on her. She's a terrifyingly deadly redhead who's never going to like him back, so she's pretty much hitting every one of his strike zones. Natasha lets him follow her around with puppy dog eyes for almost an entire day, and then sits him down and says, "You know, men who've convinced themselves they should only want what they can't have are always my easiest hits. Patch your holes, Stilinski." It's a 4-second conversation, after which Natasha treats him exactly as she treats the rest of the pack. As an adult, he'll say it changed his life. Lydia spends the entire trip bouncing between Bruce's lab, where she bombards him with questions and does every proof he asks her to until he sighs and gives her access to his research, and shopping trips with Pepper, which they largely spend becoming surrogate sisters. By the time the pack goes back to Beacon Hills, both she and Danny have job offers they plan on taking when they graduate. Pepper's promised that she'll pull some strings, should either of them have issues getting into New York City schools. Boyd meets Thor by accident about 10 minutes before the pack meets the rest of the Avengers. Thor is entering the bathroom, and Boyd is leaving it. Boyd has a small fanboy moment, because Thor is a literal Norse god and has also been his favorite of the team since he was little. This is probably why, without meaning to, he says, "I went as you for Halloween 6 years running." Thor grins at him, slaps him on the back, and grins even wider when Boyd doesn't wince at the impact. He says, "Upon completion of my impending bodily function, we shall fight as man and werewolf." They've been literally inseparable ever since. Which, if anyone asks, is what happened to the training floor. Twice. Both times over. Derek and Steve, as previously mentioned, kind of bond accidentally over being tall, silent types with incredible physiques and massive personal loss issues. They spend a lot of time together during the pack's visit. Even after they go back to Beacon Hills, Steve tries to call Derek once a week. They don't always talk about much. Sometimes they don't talk about anything. Once in the blue moon, Derek will call Steve and say, "How did you do it?" And Steve will say, "I just keep living, son." Neither of them ever mentions those conversations after. Thor won't be in the same room as Danny. Draw your own conclusions. Erica spends most of the trip doing hand-to-hand training with Bucky and Natasha. It's not that she doesn't like the rest of the Avengers, exactly, but there's a certain, "We're going to do good and save the day!" mentality to their operation that Erica doesn't really jive with. It's not that she doesn't want to do good, it's not that she doesn't want to save the day, but she's a pragmatist, and she knows that it isn't always that simple. She'd rather use this trip to learn something than to do anything else, and Bucky and Natasha are both harsh in a way that appeals to her. By the end of the trip, she's got Isaac, Scott, and Jackson in sessions with them. She tries to get Boyd to join them, but he refuses to sacrifice his Thor time. When Scott's not hanging with Tony, he's hanging with Clint. Originally, this was because Clint developed protective older brother feelings with Allison very quickly and was like, "I want to meet this boy you're dating. Put the exploding arrow down, Allison, we're doing this." However, Clint and Scott were bros within, like, 5 seconds meeting, and somehow this ended up causing Clint, Natasha, Allison, and Scott to go on what should have been a very awkward double date. Instead, everyone spent the night alternately laughing hysterically and swapping how-to-get-through-high-school-type stories. In 10 years, after Scott and Allison are married, they'll still be going on vacation with Clint and Natasha once a year, Neither of their other couple friends understand that a proper vacation is a combination of relaxation and adrenaline. Styles ends up bonding with Rhodey. Rhodey is forcibly reminded of Tony back in their MIT days, all babble and big eyes, and more brain than he knew what to do with. Styles, who grew up as a cop's kid, can't quite wrap his head around the fact that any real adult, Derek doesn't count, is willing to pay attention to him while he's talking, let alone an adult who's an Avenger and a distinguished war hero and a military officer. They start emailing when Styles goes back to Beacon Hills, and never stop. Rhodey's next to Scott, who's obviously best man, when Styles gets married.
To Derek!
And Styles is godfather to Bucky and Rhodey's oldest kid. And, finally, Nick Fury is really fucking pissed off that there are werewolves in the world. Really fucking pissed off about that. Coulson is mostly unsurprised. After all, there's everything else. Guest bullet by postcard. And, presumably, Maria Hill is, by this point, a werewolf. Bitch knows what's going on. Thanks for listening.